I want to conclude the Tosis in on Hamid Beis and then start on the Gemara Daf of Amud Aleph and come back to the part of the Tosis here that we skipped that relates to that Gemara. Okay, so there's a Gilyon here, it's in parentheses. Part of this seems to be what we're going to see in the actual Tosis right afterwards, so maybe there's like an overlap. The Gemara says, L'Hilchoseyin, Rava says that even though really we could have learned out from borrowing one other all the Avos Nezikin, yet the Torah needed to write all of them, L'Hilchoseyin, as Rava proceeds to tell us each particular mazik and unique halachas relating to that. Tosis says, Habimarsi L'Meimar, the Kul Ibstrach L'Michtav, for the following reason. The Ilog Sivela, Habinafki Mechad Mehanach Ubar, Habipatri Bahu Kalin. The Iyal of Mechad Mehanach Me'esh, Habipatri Bahu Tamun. What Tosis is saying is that Lemaisa, there's another reason, separate from what the Gemara says, that each of these Mazikin have their own unique halachas, Chavaregos, Patabashus Arabim, and so on. Lemaisa, if you're going to learn from borrowing one other, then you're going to have to limit the chiyuv of the thing that you're learning to, the new av that you want to learn out from borrowing one other, to the parameters of the chiyuv of a bor itself, since bor is one of the melamdim. And since bor is patur and kalim, then you're going to have a patur kalim in the new av that you want to learn out from the tzad hashava, bor and one other. And so too, if it would be eish, that would be part of the tzad hashava, the two that you're going to learn from, then you're going to have to be patur and tamud. So this is a charek tosis gishitas. So we saw a few times already, and it's going to be relevant again on Davav after we go through the four examples of tzad hashava. It's going to be a very big inyan that we're going to look at with the rush when we learn out the various cases, the four cases of and Davav and on Davav and Mibes that we learn out from Bor and let's say one other as a tzad hashava. So umaisa at the end of the day, what's going to be the halacha as far as kalim? Would it be Pater and Kalim like Bor? Do we say it's not? It's going to come up again. But we saw already a few indications in Tosus. The Tosus holds that if you have a limud from two things, and you learn out to something else, then whatever kulas you're going to have in each of those melamdim that you're learning from are going to carry over to the lamid. We had indications from other Rishonim differently. We had this, for example, and if you will go back to Gimel Mideis and the end of the Tosis on the top, Tosis raises the question that he doesn't answer. Tosis learns that when Rav says Mishoro Lamadnu, that Avno Sakino Maso Shalohif Kiran is Mishoro Lamadnu, Tosis explains B'Shem HaRashbam, that doesn't mean Mishoro just from Shor, it means a combination of Shor and Bor. Mm-hmm. It's a mad sad. And that actually would be one way to explain what the tzad hashava of the Mishnah is actually going on that case. But Tosis wonders, because Lamaisa, we see later that Rav is Machayiv on Kalim. But if you're learning from Bor and Shor, then it should be Pater on Kalim. Tosis doesn't answer the Kasha, but Tosis took for granted that if you're going to learn from Bor and something else, then you have to end up with the Ptur Mabor. We saw the Tosis of Beto Parrots over there. Thought that no, because since it's just one of the melamdim, right? Since it's just one of the melamdim, it's not both. It's just so who says that you have to carry over a tour that's in one of the melamdim? If both of the melamdim have a common tour, then that would be the halacha. The halacha would be based on dayo. Let's say dayo. You can't go beyond where you're learning from. But here it's paga didina. It's only one part of it that's bor, but it's really shor and bor. So maybe you wouldn't have a tour kalim. That would be the case that Tosis wouldn't be able to say over here. That would have a Ptur Kalim. It's not just Bor, it's Bor and something else. Another suggestion you have to know is, what's the Ikar Melamed? We saw this coming up in the Gay of the Tosis Beis on the Beis. When Tosis says Daya Ketrusha, you want to learn from Kerem Mechuberes, from something else, from what's Ishar Ovo. So Tosis says we can learn from Ketrusha, Daya Ketrusha. So it came up there with the Merachah Zeruah, if you remember right. L'chaira, it's not a pashta thing. Tosis is assuming that anytime you have two things that are melamed, the pturim of either one would carry over. And it's not as simple as it sounds, but this is Tosis Shita. Tosis consistently holds this way. Tosis concludes Umasnisin lo katani elo lahagdil Torah v'yadir. According to the Mashal, this is all Tosis really said. The first part really is not part of this Tosis because we're going to see it again in the bottom Tosis. So Umaisa, it's repetitive, so he actually took the whole thing out except for the last couple of words. Umaisa, what are the last words saying? Umasnisin lo katani elo lahagdil Torah v'yadir. That Lemaisa, Rabbi is telling us that you could have gotten the various avos from Boren one other, so why does the Mishnah seem to say that you couldn't learn one from the other? As if to say that they need to be written for themselves. According to Rabbi, they only be written for the insofar as the Pturim are concerned. So the answer is, quote, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, right? Lahagdil Torah v'yadir. Torah of Parshas Bereishis, I believe. Shem Chafetz Man Sidko, Yag Torah v'yadir, I think so. So what is the point? What is the notion of Yag Torah v'yadir? Tosis mentioned this again earlier, if you remember, no? Tosis mentioned it before, on that base, right? What? Where was it? In one of the Tosis in the base of Amid Aleph. What? Lozev is there. Yeah. What is the Pshat exactly? Yevatana Herich, Yag Torah v'yadir. Possible suggestion, what Tosis means is as follows. Anytime you expound on Torah, that's a Kiddush Hashem, that's a Ribuy of Torah. These are in Yanim of Torah. Each of the Avos Nezikin is a Chevz of Torah. And when I expound on it and I say, look, if I had one, would I learn this one? Chada Mechada. And I explain that you couldn't because of this Pircha, that Pircha. So that has a key. That's Pilpulish of Torah. That's MS, that's being mefalpil in Torah. The mice at the end of the day, the sense that you might get just from that sentence is, and the Torah had to write it for itself. So Rava says, you look deeper, you see that it's not so. Really, you could have gotten to learn out that Av without having it written as far as the Chiyuv is concerned, because I could have got it from Bara and one other. But as far as the Mishnah's focus, which is Chada Mechada, the way the Mishnah sets it up, so that the way that the Mishnah frames it, there's always a pircha. You can't learn this from this. You can't learn Eish from the other two. You can't learn Bor from the other three. All that is systematically correct in terms of the end result. And therefore, does that mean that everything has to be written for itself? Rabbi says Lemaisa, that's not true. They're really written for the Pturim. But that doesn't erase the value of the Mishnah, because the value of the Mishnah is still to try to expound on the various tchunos of the Mazikin, and by analyzing it from the more limited perspective of Chada Mechada, Chada Mitarati, and Embora from the three. Meanwhile, what have we drawn out? We've drawn out the unique characteristics of Shor vis-a-vis Mava vis-a-vis Shor, and Shor and Mava vis-a-vis Eish, Embo Ruach Chaim, and then the three of Ho'echum. All this is a ribuy of Torah. In other words, if we wouldn't go through the exercise, because Umaisa, your Torah has to say it, the Torah only for the Pturim, so we would be clueless about these particular inyanim that emerge from the Shaka V'tai of the Mishnah. So the fact that the Mishnah engages in this approach, even though practically speaking, it's not the last word on the matter in terms of the reason for the Torah to have said it, because really the reason is going to come down to Hilchoseyan, but the value is still there. That's called the Hagdil Torah, because it's a ribuy of Torah to simply work out within the framework that the Mishnah does set up in order to bring out the various pirchas and svaras that come out of it. That's a Kiddush Hashem. That's the Hagdil Torah. I would suggest that's what Tosis would mean. Bor lifter bo sakelin. So Rava goes through the list, and he included in the list is Bor for Ptur Kelim. Agav orche nakte, de bor lo asi mikugo. That anyway is Agav, because Bor has to be stated. According to Rava, Bor has to be one of the two. Rashi pointed this out as well, if you remember. Eish lifter bo satamun. So again, in the list is mentioned Eish. Why is Eish mentioned for Ptur Tamun? Havi matzi lemeimar l'chaye bo sakelin. He could have said that Eish is needed for Chiyuv Kelim. The Eish lo asi mi bali chayim, ela michad minayu ubor, the patabosa kelim. So this is what you might say is an echo of what we saw in the Gilyon before. In other words, you're telling me Eish luftabosa tamun, you could have said Eish lo chayiv kelim, because where would Eish have come from? It would have to come from Bor and one of the bali chayim. So then you'd have to be limited by the p'tur by that which bore his pater on kelim, and therefore Eish needed to be stated l'chayvus akelim. Perhaps in Rashi can be against this Tosus. What did Rashi say is the case of Tamun? Liftabo is a Tamun. What's the case? What was Tamun according to Rashi? In the case, what was Tamun in the Gaddish? What does Rashi say? What was Tamun in the Gaddish? Imhayu, the Gaddim, no, that's Kalim. Rashi says, you need the Pasuk to tell me Ptur Tamun in the case of the Gaddim. No, if Rashi agreed with Tosfos that if you're learning it out from Bor and one other, and therefore it would be Pater on Kalim, so then you're anyway Pater on Kalim in the case of the Gaddim. The Gaddim are Kalim. So Rashi Kinira would hold, like maybe other Rishonim, that you wouldn't automatically take the Ptur Kalim over. But Bor is only one of the two Melamdim, and maybe you wouldn't necessarily assume that if there's a Ptur in one of the Melamdim that it carries over. Because the Lifter Bosa Tamun, because the Torah gave me the Drasha, Lifter Bosa Tamun. Were it not for the special Xeris HaKasuv of Ohakama to Pater Tamun, it would not fall under the Ptur Kalim. Tosus would have to learn the case of Tamun of the Gemara, would have to mean a case that wasn't Begadim. It would be Chveis, an animal, whatever it is, that would be Chai by Bor. If that was Tamun in the Gaddish, that would be Pata by Esh. Zav the Gemara. Hatzara Shava Shebehen. So the Mishnah concludes after listing the four Avos Nezikin and the Lo Harei and how you couldn't learn one from one, and one from two, and one from three. Hatzad HaShavah Shavah Shedarkon Lahazik U'Shmirasan Alecha. What is meant by the Mishnah stating that there's a Tzad HaShavah? Obviously in order to allude to other cases. So we're going to have in this Amud on Tamid Beis four illustrations brought by four different Amorayim for what exactly the Mishnah could be referring to. The Rishonim point out that the Pashtas, they're not arguing with each other, they're all true. And in the Chedami, they all could be derived, they're diukim in the Rif at the end of the day, what he quoted. But Lamaisa, there are four examples, starting with Abaye as the first. Zakti Gemara L'Asliyemai, what is meant to be included in the expression at Sada Shavah Shaban? Amar Abaye. L'Asliyemai, the following case. Avno Sakino Maso, Shehinichan Berosh Gago. V'naflu beruach mitzuya v'hiziku. So you have a case of something which is potentially a hazard, such as avda sakinu maso, it's going to at least turn into a hazard. What happens is you put it berosh gago. So then a normal wind blows it off, and it causes hezek. So that is something that can only be make you chayev based on a tzad hashava from a combination of two of the mazikin listed before, and that's what the Mishnah would allude to. Says the Gemara, what case are we talking about? How did the hezek occur? Hechidami. Iba hadi de ka'azli kamaski. If the hezek occurs while they're in motion, hainu esh, then that's mamish, that's esh, meaning it's a toda of esh. And it'd be chayiv, straightforward esh. Maishna esh, de koch ache me'urav bo. Umamonach u'shmirasa v'alecha, haninami koch achem urben umamonach shmirasa v'alecha. This is a more or less an echo of the Rishonus that we had earlier in the sugyas of Todos and Kayotze and Lav Kayotze v'hen. We tried to figure out what the Todos would be and would it be Kayotze bo, and we mentioned this case, as you remember earlier, on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that if you have a case of Amasakin Vaso, Shenicha Brosh Gago, Vnochbuch Mitzvah V'iziku, Bahad Da'azi Kamaski. So the Gemara asked very much over there, Hainu Eish, Maishna Eish, with these very words. Tosus discusses the word Mamonach over there, but meanwhile the Gemara mentions the qualities of Eish, and as defined by Koch Acham Urabahen, Mamonash Masalecha, and therefore this is exactly the same in terms of the Chiyuv, and that's why it's understood to be Kayotzi Vahen. Which, for our purposes, the Gemara's kasha would be, so it's not a tzad hashav, it's straightforward, told of the esh, which is kayotzevo. Exactly how to read the koach acham urbehen in the Lashna Gemara, that we saw right back on Daf Gimon Beis and also Beis Amin Aleph, this is Machokis Rishonin, how to understand koach acham urbehen when the Gemara is using it here in connection to the unique quality of esh, the characteristic of esh. The mashmos of Rashi back before on Gimon Beis, have a suki adaite, that the fact that it was Koch Murben, therefore you have to recognize that there is this There's koch achad that's going to take it. Therefore, it's more of a reason that you're a posheya, that you're chayiv. That's part of the machayiv avesh. It's a siba l'chiyuv. That would be the one way to learn the Gemara. And that would be the sense of Rashi here as well. But Pashtas Rashi says, Maishna. The Maishna Eshmina. In the Lashon of Rashi, Hainu Eish, they told the Eishi, the Maishna Eshmina, Shekin Kochacha Me'urabo. In other words, why would Eish be any different? That this would be less than Eish, you need a Tzara Shava for it. Meaning, what we're saying here is all reason why Eish should be Chayiv. So that would be one way to read it. Tosus and Dabezim et Aleph understood it differently. Tosus learns Kochacha Me'urabo doesn't have any element of Chumrah. It's, the Gemara means notwithstanding. Kocha Merubo is purely a kula. The Gemara means, by every time the Gemara is saying it, the Gemara is saying it as part of a package. That Gemara Beis here as well. The Gemara means that despite the fact that Kocha Merubo, nevertheless, because of Monosh Masalecha, you're chayiv. So that's how you read the Gemara according to Tosus. We'll see in just a few minutes that Kochach Merubo clearly has an element of Kula. The Gemara is going to say that in so far as the Ukimta that it's going to make for the case of Ben Sikuna Maso. So that means obviously that even if you learn Al-Derech Rashi that it's a Chumrah, it just means that there's one aspect of it that's a Chumrah, but in another respect, it's also a Kula. So it means it can be used, as the Rashba says, Tovso Lekan Lekan. Tosus doesn't see any place to see it as a Chumrah at all, but Rashi will be Al-Derech Rashba. That there's element of Kochach Merubo that you could see it as a basis for the Chiyuv by Eish itself. But then when you want to contrast things, you can also use that as a Kula, Kochach Merubo. So at this point, this Pashat had to read the words of the Gemara. We have to remind ourselves of what we saw. So the Gemara says, if the case is straightforward, that they're being mazik as their emotion, it's exactly what Eish is, it's a Toda Eish Ke Eish, and therefore, for sure, Yechayiv, straightforward Eish. So what's the case of Tzara Shava? Ella, Basa Denaichi. Says Gemara, so it must be that it's talking about, again, it got blown off the roof, and then it came to rest, and it was mazik after it came to rest, in the Rishus HaRabin. Says the Gemara, so now what's the case further? Ida afkirinu, if you are mafkirit, ben l'rab ben l'shmuel hainu bor. So there is a line that Tosus took out that did not appear in our Gemara either, and that's what Tosus says on the top. The Gemara goes through the possibilities of why you mafkirit or not. So let's say you are not mafkirit. The Gemara is going to say that in a minute, right? So we'll get there. Okay, let's read it first. Kaseder. Ida afkirinu ben Rabbi Shmuel hainu bor. So if it's a case where you are mafkirit and sitting in Rishus HaRabin, so then Hainu Bor. The Gemara then says, this is Mamish Bor. How so? Maishna Bor, and again, this is an echo of the Lashonis we had earlier with Bor. Maishna Bor, Shekein Tchilas Asiyasu Lenezek, Umamonach Ushmiras Analecha. What are the characteristics of Bor that make it a Mazik to be Chayiv? Tchilas Asiyasu Lenezek, we had that in the whole Amud of Rashi earlier. That's how you start out everything. That's what makes Bor distinct. Again, the question of how you view that vis-a-vis Bor, if it's the Torah making you a mammon or not goris it. Shemrasa Alecha. Haninami. So the Gemara applies that standard as well here as well. Abna Sakino Maso. Tchilas Asiyasan Lenezek. Mammon Shemrasan Alecha. We have to explain this carefully. What does it mean, Tchilas Asiyasan Lenezek? In what sense? We'll have to see soon in the Rashi. The Gemara calls this Tchilas Asiyasan Lenezek. Chayru, what does that mean? Where did you put it? You put it on the Rosh Hagag. The wind, that's the Ruach Mitzri, will take it to the ground and it will become a hazard in Rishus HaRabin. What's the Tchilas Asiyasan Lenezek over here? When Rashi explains it on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, when the Gemara mentioned it there, the first time really, by Bor, the Gemara says, Ide Afkirinu, and so on. Maishna bor shechin tchias asiyasin lenezek. Hani nam tchias asiyasin lenezek. So this was the case of Abnas Kino Maso shehnicha and Rishus HaRabim. Right, that was the case on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. That was hinichan birshus HaRabim. And what did Rashi say there? Tchilas asiyas and nezek, and haninami, tchilas masha naasu bor. The beginning of when they became a bor, meaning kishahun cholisham hayomdim lenezek. Right? That's the Lashon Rashi Gimel Beis. Now that was the case where you placed it in Rishus HaRavim. What's a little stranger over here by our case is, where did you place it? In Rosh Hagag. The Ruach Mitzuya took it and it landed in Rishus HaRavim. And the Gemara calls that Hainu Bor, with all the trappings of Bor, the first and foremost characteristic being Tchilas Asiyaso Lenezek. That means that we're using that terminology for the case here, not Hinicha Rishus HaRavim, Hinicha Rosh Hagag. So what does that mean? Does it mean Tchilas Asiyasa Lenezek on Rosh Hagag? Rashi's Lashon on Gimel Beis, Tchilas Mashenasu Bor. When would you say this became a Bor? When did it become a Bor? When it's on the roof or when it's in Rishus HaRavim? Rishus HaRavim. So I have to see the Mashmos of Rashi here and what to make of this. But that's the Lashon HaGemara. But separate from that, Diyuk, I want to point out something else also quite striking. And it's a Hainu Bor, meaning to say it's Mamish Bor. It's a straightforward Toda de Bor. We always talk about a Bor in terms of a Maisa Kriya, don't we? Ki Yiftach Ish Bor, Ki Yechve Ish Bor. Abnesakinu Maso, Toda de Bor. You put in Rishus HaRabbi, you will call a Bor by putting the hands in Rishus HaRabbi. Separate from the Diuk that I just had, at Tchilas Asiyasa Lenezek, where's the Maisa Kriya Sabor? You dig a Bor, you uncover a bor, you place a hazard, which is a rabbin, that's a maisa pshia, a maisa kriya, a maisa kriya of bor. Hainu bor, that means that it fits within bor, but doesn't bor require, so we also have a daf nem ches, if a shor dug a bor in my property, and I was not stuffing it up, I didn't close it, it says, kiman dekarye dami, okay? So here you have the kriya sabor. Where would you say, in a case like this, you put your Avsakir Masal Barosh Hagag, and where's this Hainu Bor? What happened to the idea that Bor requires a Kriya Sabor? So what are you going to say to this? Do you need a Maisa Kriya? Or you need a Pshia that leads to Kriya Sabor? What do you have over here? Do you have an act of Kriya? Kriya Sabor, I don't know, where's the Kriya Sabor? Where'd you dig the bor? How'd you dig the bor? You put it Barosh Hagag. But you did a Pshiyas Kriya. You did a Pshiya that will allow the bor to be formed. I think you see here a Chiddush, that it's not as much that you need a Maisa of Kriya Sabor, you need a Pshiya that results in Kriya Sabor. And that's all that you need. So that I have. Again, I'm not talking yet about the Tchilas Asiyas Lenezek component of Bor. That's this first point that we raised. We'll have to see where Rashi falls on that issue. But that's in terms of the characteristic of Tchilas Asiyas. I'm talking about simply the types of... What does Bor mean? Doesn't Bor, by definition, mean that you have to dig a Bor? Or the equivalent of digging a Bor in the form of passively not filling up the Bor? Or placing the hazard in Rishus HaRavim, that's a Kriyas HaBor. You put the hazard there. You put the hazard in one place. This place, it's not potentially a mazik. It's not mazik right now where it is. But given that there's a ruach mitzuya that's going to take it to Rishus HaRavim, so the best I could label this is a pshia that's causing a kriyas habor. For the Gemara, at this point, that's hainu bor. The Gemara is going to soon say why it's not quite bor and yinideish as well. That's the kol chachamurbo in a second. But that's a separate pirka. Now, it's not perfectly bor because of that. But I'm asking, where's the kriyas habor? The answer is, I have a pshia that causes a bor to be dug. The digging of the bor, the bor is dug in Rishus HaRavim when it's landing there. I did a pshia that resulted in a kriya, in the bor's landing to Rishus HaRavim. That's ki yiftachu ki yichreish bor. I think there's a chidush here, just to spell it out. To me, it sounds like a chiddush. I don't know, maybe everyone else thinks it's pashut. Until now, I would say the hazak of bor requires a psicho or kriya of a bor. Here, I have a psia of kriya. I don't have the kriya itself, but that's good enough. That's the gemara, hainu bor. So, says the gemara, okay, so it's not afkirinu, ela delo afkirinu. So here the question, the Girsa. The Lav Kirinu. So one Girsa read at this point. Ila Rav the Amar. What would that Girsa have said? Tosas quoted in that Gimel Mebeis. The Logaras, right? If you look at the end of the Tosas, top of Gimel Mebeis. Ukamran Gabi Atzara Shava the Ka'amar, the first small line. The Kamar Abaye, Suyam Nasakino, Lo Goras, Ilu Rav Dama Kumashangamano, Hainu Shor. So there was a Girsa here at this point in the Gemara. Right? El Idalo Afkirinu, Ilu Rav, da da da, Hainu Shor. That would mean, so again, you don't need a Mamatsino, you don't need a, you don't need a Tzara Shava, you have straight Shor. So Tosis could not tolerate that Girsa. Why? Because Tosis there said, B'Shem HaRashbam, that the Mishoro Lamadnu of Rav, of Avneskin Masod, Delof Gerinu, is in fact not just Mishoro exclusively, but Mishor and Bor. Which basically means that Rav has a perfect shot in the Tzadashav. And the Chanami, the Gemara never challenged that, because that would work. The Gemara just didn't spell out the obvious. That would work. That's the Tatosis over here. Ila Rav, lo gasinu ki diprash del el. There's no Ila Rav here in the Gemara. The Gemara skipped right over it. Okay. So we go to what? El Delof Gerinu. El Delof Gerinu is vital. Shmuel da amar kum baro labanu hainu bor. So then it comes out the kasha was, if it's Afgerinu, then ben rabbi l'shmuel hainu bor. I Delof Gerinu, then l'shmuel hainu bor. And according to Rav, it's good. According to Rav, we have a nice pshat. We actually have a pshat. The Gemara didn't even bother asking because, yeah, it's good. That's according to Tosis. If you hold Nalitosis, if you say Mishoro means, let's say we thought for Rashi, Mishoro, then maybe there is a point in the Gemara saying Yigal Rav Hainu Shor, meaning again, you don't need a Tzadashav. Okay, says the Gemara, Olam de Afkirino. So, okay, so really, let's go back to the suggestion a minute ago. Again, it was after it caused a hezek after it landed. The wind took it off the roof to the ground, and it was Afkirino. But velo damu labor. But it's not a perfect analogy to bor. What makes it different? Why didn't you come to Atzad Hashava? Ma labor shekein ein koach achem ma'urav bo. Bor has something distinct that this case doesn't. Namely, the bor did not have koach acher involved in its formation. And in that regard, bor has something over this case that we just mentioned. Ein koach achem ma'urav bo. Tomer Bahani, in the case of Anasakino Maso, Shekoach Achem Urav Behen. So here you have the Koach Achem Urav Bo stated clearly as a Kula. And this is what was driving Tosis, who assumed that it's always that. It's a Kula. The fact that Koach Achem Urav Bo, it's less of a Mazik. Again, Lefi Rashi, Lefi the Rashba, you have to say that they're both true. There's a koach achem urav bo in some way can be presenting a chumra, but in another regard it actually can be seen as a kula. What exactly is the nature of this kula? Koach achem urav behen. In other words, this boar became a boar only through the wind that brought it down from the roof to be the hazard in Rishus Harabin. So it became a mazik through koach achem. You could say it's a weakness in the mazik, I guess. One way to think about it, it's a weakness in the mazik. But that's not so simple, because umaisa, once it becomes a mazik, it's not weak. Its formation was weak. So I would prefer maybe to say it in a different phraseology. It's not so much in the mazik, it's in what? How could you phrase it? In that which, let's go with that idea that why are you liable for abov zikin? Because of your pshia. It detracts a little bit from the element of your pshia. Your pshia was not enough by itself. Your pshia is you're being machshir the nezek, I should say. Your pshia is a form of being machshir the nezek, conditioning, readying the thing to be mazik. But there's another contributing factor, the koach achem. So that makes it perhaps you're on a lower level of being machshir the nezek. You're being machshir the nezek b'tziruf a koach achem. Not so much in the chefs of the mazik, but in the dynamic of, you know, why you're chayiv, because you are machshir the nezek. That's the basis for the chiyuv. The fact that koach achem urban makes your contribution that much lower than if it would be a machshir the nezek without a koach achem. Rabbi Osei here, that's another another twist of how to put it. Okay, it's a kula in terms of the fact that the hechsher nezek involves a koach achir. So perhaps that would not be the same as bor. Maybe you couldn't go to bor. You could use that as a pircha mala bor. She can't koach in koach achim urban. That's the quest. That's why you can't go straight to bor. So now we say eish tochiach. So that's what we come with eish, and say, look, eish has koach achim urban, and the Torah has told us that you're chayiv. So obviously that's not a reason to distinguish. That it's only the only b'chay by koach hachamurabo. You see, b'chay without koach hachamurabo. Even with koach hachamurabo, you see the fact that ain't koach hachamurabo is not going to be a central difference. You see, Eish has koach hachamurabo in schayef. So too, avne sakino maso in the case of ruach mitzuya. I mal Eish can dark aleichu hazik. I Eish has a unique characteristic that it's mazik in motion, it moves, and in this case, it's only mazik passively. What says bar tochiach? But bor, we know, is chayiv, even though it's passive. So therefore, each unique characteristic neutralizes the other, right? In other words, v'chazar adin, right? The fact that the standard bor is ein koach hacham urabo, unlike the case over here, but eish tochiach, that's chayiv even by koach hacham urabo. The fact that eish is hoichu mazik, and this is not, it's stationary. Yeah, but you have bor tochiach, and that's why you have this case. The combination of eish and bor allows us to learn out that you're chayiv in this case as well. That's the words of the Gemara. Let's see the Rashi. Hadfada shavah shebehen shedarkan lahazik demashma. By saying this, the Mishnah is implying af kol shedarkan lahazik ushma solecha umay masis lasui. Interesting, what did Rashi leave out? Who was medayik this in the Rashi? Demashma af kol what? What is the Mishnah? Mamonach. Yeah, strange. Rashi and Daf, earlier Amud, we thought, seemed to have the gears of Mamonach. Oh, yeah, there. Hainu Eish. So if it's Bahadi the Azli, Hainu Eish, the Toda the Eishi. It's a straight Toda the Eish, the Maishna Eish, Mina. Why would Eish be any different? Meaning that it should be chayiv, and this would not be a normal eish. It would be something. It would come out to something else. You'd have need a second melamed. She can't koach hacham uraba. So it's this Rashi. I think it's very meduik again that koach hacham uraba in this regard is viewed as a contributing factor to the chiyuv. Notice maishna eish mina, meaning that this would be on a lower level, and eish would be on a higher level, and eish might be chayiv, but this wouldn't be a slam dunk eish. It's different. Meaning the Eish has more in it to make it chayiv, and Rashi says koach hacham urabo. So clearly Rashi is Rishita, so that in this regard, at this point of the Gemara, you can always look at Eish in terms of being a contributing factor to the chiyuv. And again, either Gemara says a minute later that it's going to be it's also a reason to say that it's less a reason to be chayiv. So that's what the Rashba says here and before. Just imagine that's the pshat in Rashi too. You want to treat that kavar as eish. From the perspective of leaving it and it goes out and it's mazik as it's walking, so it's exactly what it is. It's matzu lahazik and it's going to pick up the ruach mitzvah. It's going to take it. It's going to be mazik. So that's the element of pa'amim shetov salachumra. But if you want to view the context of later in the Gemara, if you want to view it like a bor, then we ask the other direction. She'enam domin lebor. Shabor kuo nasim mikocha levad. B'lishin esayar b'chatsi yasal koach achir. Over here, lo nasu bor mikocha levad. It became a bor with the koach achir. So from the perspective of becoming a bor with koach achir, it's lower than bor. From the perspective of being chayiv as it's moving, it has everything that Eish has in it. In that regard, it's a chumra. So you can actually see it both ways. Basa denaychi maski behen shora chamor. Yeah, that's what it, like it says by bor in the pasuk, shora chamor. Truth is, mazik could be adam too, and if it's adam, it's only misa's up to her. Rashi says, maski, husku could have been adam too. Loyadeh, Rashi says, shora chamor. We had a deal like this earlier in the Rashi, I think, also. Rashi talks about hezek, and he still said, shora chamor. Ida afkira, Then the rabbi in the Shmo, the Pligi Behefker, or just the Pligi, they take out the word Hefker, Beper, Kaminach Zakat, Hainu Bor, the Tarvayu Amri, Kol Takola, Shehifkir, Nafkalan Mibor. Anytime you have a hazard that you are Mafkir, it's learned out of Bor, the Chayiv, the Kihecha, the Chiyuva, the Bor, who Beshu Sarabim, to have the hefker, because I mean perak shoshnogel sapara, that barbashusam is yechayiv and barbashusarabin. Shal iske kriya psicha bolo. That's how we learn out. Ikiyev tach kiyechre. In other words, that's all you have in it. No bailus except you dug it in the public domain. Avko takalasa sheifker chayiv. The hanami. So we say what? So we know boris chias asiyas mezik. It is inherently a hazard. Unlike all the other mezikim, ashur is not inherently a hazard. Even an Eish, where it is, it's not inherently a hazard. It's not Tchilas Asiyasa L'Nezek. Bor is. So too over here. Hani Nami. Tchilas Asiyasa L'Nezek, says Rashi. Da Havelei Lasuke Adaite. The Sofa Lipo Beruach Mitsuya. So what did Rashi say here? Havelei Lasuke Adaite. The Sofa Lipo Beruach Mitsuya. You had to realize that it was going to fall. So what does Rashi mean? So what's the Tchilas Asiyasa, L'Nezek? Now on the Gag or in Rishus Sarabin? Rashi again, Gimel Beis, Tchilas Asiyasa when it became a boy. Is this called Tchilas Asiyasa L'Nezek on the Gag because of the fact that the wind is taking it? Is that how you read it? Or is Tchilas Asiyasa L'Nezek when it got below? What's the Mashmos of Rashi? The Rashash certainly took it one way. How did the Rashash take Rashi? To mean? No? What do you think? Reading the Rashi, what do you think? On the Rosh Hagad. Why?
Because he's saying what you would have thought.
Because you realize the self-fulfilling Mitzuya. So what? Okay, I hear. But why? So why does Rashi have to add a phrase that having a Sukhya Daite? In other words, if the Mitzvah is what it is, that the Ruach will take it, so why are we talking about what he should know about and think about? We're talking about the Mitzvah of the Bor, of the Adam Sakinah Masoh. It is on the Gag, it is Tchilas Asiyas L'Nezek. So you should say, because the Ruach Mitzvah will take it. So for Lipo, what's the Havelei Asukei Daite? That's what's bothering me. In the Rashash's understanding of Rashi, why focus on the person's, you know, what he should be aware of? Tchilas Asiyas L'Nezek is the reality of the case. So if you want to say that because it's going to go from here to there with the wind, that's called it's a hazard right now. The Rashash prefers to say, unlike Rashi, another Kashis, what does he say? Means Tchilas Asiyas L'Nezek means it's becoming a bor for the first time in Rishus HaRabim. That's Tchilas Asiyas L'Nezek. Like Rashi said before, Tchilas, that became a bor. Yeah.
Tchilas Asiyas L'Nezek, you say, relates to Shia Sabal. It's Mechayv. What's Mechayv Tchilas Asiyas L'Nezek? That the Baal, since this thing right away is ready to be Mazik, the Baal should have been more careful with it. He shouldn't have thought that he could have any time. So then it makes sense that Rashi's referring to Havelei L'Sugei Daite.
Yabashi's Asuge Daite, though, is talking about that it's going to fall over there, down below. Why does Rashi have to say you should realize it's going to fall? As long as you tell me that it's going to fall, then you're saying it's already a hezek right now. What does that have to do with his realizing or thinking about it?
Because, again, it's all about the Pshir. It's not about...
Tchilas Asiyo Nezek is just a Mitzvah. It is a hazard from the time that it was formed. So it's a hazard. It's going to fall. I'm gonna have to realize it's gonna fall. Louis de Mistapina, I would say, maybe Rashi will hold that it's Tchilas Asiyas L'Nezek is when it's on the ground. But the reason that that's called that is because of the fact that you have to realize that it's gonna fall to the ground. That's maybe Rashi's using that lashon in order to explain why it's called, I don't know, Tchilas Asiyas L'Nezek on the ground because of your realizing that it's gonna go there. Still not sure if it's glad so glad in the words of Rashi. I did notice in the Ravid weighs in on this Mefurish. Right here, it's a question in Rashi. The Ravid Chedushia Ravid. it says Pirshu Rishonim. The Shita quotes it, but not as fully as it is in the Lashon of the Rebbe himself. Pirshu Rishonim Dehainu Kol Davar Shu Munach B'Mokum Pshia Sheyachol Lavo Nezek Mimenu Korat Chilas Asiyasu LeNezek. So first he quotes from others that anything that's situated in a place that could come out of Nezek, it's Chol Chilas Asiyasu. He says, I don't like that pshat. Ein Zatam Yafet Dim Kain Kol Davar Shu Poshia Bishmi Rasan Yehi Olav Sheim Zeh. Then why isn't the Shur Kol Chilas Asiyasu LeNezek? The Yor Poshia and the Nezek could come from it. Why is only Boris Chol Chilas? Why not all the Mezikim? So the Rebbe doesn't like the way that they phrased it. Ella, he says like this: if it's a situation of something that you have no right to put it there, and it nezek is very common to result from that, what you did from putting it there, you have no right to dig b'shus harabim. They shu mekalkulo. V'anezek matzli sham. It's going to easily come to nezek. V'chein avno sakinam shenichan b'rosh gagol, says the Ravid, ein derech b'nei adam lahanichan b'rosh hagag. B'nei shanezek matzli misham. V'ein amok matznar kal. You have an even, a stone. You're going to leave it on the top of the roof with its wind blowing? That is Tchilas Asiyasu LeNezek. In other words, it's not an appropriate place for it to be. You have to keep it in a secure area. You don't leave it out vulnerable to the forces of nature to go schlep it, bring it down on the into the street. Uksheinicham sham v'yocho haruach mitzri la'pilam harehu kiu hinicham v'yadayim v'harehu kechof ebor v'hanezek miyad matzri sham. So I see in the Rebbe that Tchilas Asiyasu LeNezek is a function of the place where it is now, because of what's going to happen. What's going to happen later. And I'm not sure. To come back to Rashi for a second, I'm just thinking that maybe this is tentative. Maybe what Rashi wants to say, maybe even B'das HaRavid possibly. You have to call it some kind of a mazik now, otherwise the pshia was not in the mazik. The tchilas asiyaso lenezek could be in the rishus harabim, but you have to have some kind of a, your pshia has to be in a mazik, not in something that would turn into a mazik. So the tchilas asiyaso still would be defined by Rashi and Daf Gimon Beis. Tchilas asiyaso is, it's becoming a bor. It's not a bor yet when it's on your roof. But it is viewed already as a mazik in a sense, because of what the eventuality that the ruach will take it. I'm not sure if this is quite pshat in Rashi or in the Ravid. The Ravid, sort of like he's saying, it has to do with whether you have rishus to put it there. But the Ravid, that sounds like that's called tchilas asiyasu nezek. If you have no rishus to put it there, because of what would be, it's called tchilas. It sounds like that's the definition itself. In Rashi, you have to go with Rashi's definition of Gimel and Beis. That's what makes it more challenging here. Rashi says, Tchilas Asiyasu Nezek, the Tchilas Mashinasu Bor, says Rashi. No, so I ask you, when did it become a bor? Is it a bor right now? So you could say, yeah, it's a bor right now because of what's going to happen. Rashi says, Havla Sukhya Daite. Or it's only a bor when it falls to the ground. So that's Tchilas Asiyasu Nezek, but Rashi still needed it to be and somehow viewed as a mazik now. So Rashi says, because that's why it's called a pshia in a mazik. If I don't define it in some way as a mazik now, then you can't call tchilas asiyasu nezek from below. Because my pshia didn't relate to a mazik, it related to a potential mazik. So potential mazik, that's already a shame mazik now. That's what Rashi would be saying. Yeah.
Maybe this is what Rabbi's saying, but maybe a little bit differently. To understand Rashi,
go ahead.
That the Baal's Pshia, or like Hesed Hadas, by leaving on the roof, that's the start of the board being created. Because from the fact that now he's not going to go back and fix it, that the board's already starting to be created because it will fall.
So you think that you're saying a little different connection. You're saying like more in line with the Rashash. They're saying that it is, the board's being formed already now.
because we forgot.
Yeah, I'm saying, like you said, I'm saying maybe the bore is not formed until it fell, but my pshia, it was, like I said before, it's a pshia sakriya. My pshia brought about a kriya sabor when it was in Rishus HaRabim. The tchias asiyas ulenezek is the Rishus HaRabim. But my pshia is called a pshia in a mazik, not in a stage that's pre-mazik. You're saying, I could be all right. I just want to show you the difference. You're saying that the tchias heyos bor is already starting now. This is the challenge. Try to fit Rashi here with the Rashi Gimel Mebeis. And the Rashash was guided by Rashi Gimel Mebeis, and therefore he disregards what he appears to him to be the Mashmos of Rashi here. He looks at Rashi here and takes Rashi to mean that Tchias Asiyasu Nezek means it's mamish now, it's becoming a Tchias Asiyasu right now in Nezek. He says, no, it's Tchias HaYosu Bor, not Tchias HaNachasu Barosh HaGad. And that's what Rashi says on Gimel Mebeis after all. Tchias Asiyasu Nezek means the first point that it was a bor. Now the Ravid is not meshubah to Rashi and Gemara Beis. The Ravid can just take the words without the way Rashi formulated it earlier. Understand? Tchias Asiyos Nezek says the Ravid, you had no right to put it on the gag. That's not where you put it, Evan, because a ruach can take it down and bring it. And so therefore, that just like a bar b'shus haravim, Tchias Asiyos Nezek, because you had no right to dig in b'shus haravim, so you had no right to put an Evan, a sakin or a package on the gag. For the Ravid, it's that simple. It's never Tchias Asiyasu becoming a bor. It's Tchias Asiyasu wherever it might be, and the hezek results later on. Nemela, that's ki'ilu Tchias Asiyasu l'nezek. That's kichof a bor. If you wish, it's a little bit what you're saying. It's becoming a bor already now. Question is, does Rashi mean that, or does Rashi mean something a little different? It became a bor mishas harabin, but your pshias hakriya had to be a pshia that relates to a mazik. So Rashi had to tell me, "Yehavei lasuk yadaite." Lo yadea, yeah. Do you think out? Yeah.
As the
Ravid
understand why the Gemara calls poskim to say and yesasasun
nezek if it's a shus. Right. Have to see how the Ravid is going to learn the Gemara later. Unless there's a similar kasha, right? Doesn't say anything later. Sounds like a good taina. I don't know. I have to see what's that sugi for itself. What does Bishus mean exactly? It's a whole shag, what how to learn what it means over there. Bishus could be totally in that. Okay. What does Rashi say further? Eish tochiach, b'ayinu d'nakat, masnisa nat sad ha-shav. In other words, once you already get to the second thing, it's already called sad ha-shav. You said, once you have a pircha and bor, and you need to come out to Eish, even if you don't come full circle, even if it's paga d'dina, right? All we did at this point is what? Malabor, shekein wat, shekein enkoch morbo, right? So now I need Eish. Okay, I've already achieved something. I've already gotten pshat in the Mishnah. L'may says, am I finished? I'm not finished. Now the Eish, so I got to come back. But without the Bechazer Adin, I also have a Tzad HaShavah. That's what she says. Eish tochiach v'haynu d'nakat v'stisan Tzad HaShavah. I ma'le Eish ekin dak aleilech avu eilo hiziko balichasan. It didn't happen while it's moving. Al ha'shor b'chamor nitkal behen. Again, the shor b'chamor case. V'chaz ben Adin di'ikol mifach ma'le b'shkein in koch ha'chamor bo v'asya ba'at Tzad HaShavah d'masnisan. All right, so this is the Gemara, not a simple Gemara. Meanwhile, what's the picture of this sugya? Abaya has his case of a combination mazik coming out of bor and eish. Avna sakin maso shenicham b'rosh gago v'nafu b'ruach mitzuya v'hiziku basu denaychi. The Gemara says afkirinu. L'chora, it could have been, at first glance, l'chora afkirinu should be the same thing, seemingly, right? Gemara says afkirinu. Let's say it was lo afkirinu. Hashtas should be the same thing. For now, let's assume that way. And what is the need for the Tzad HaShavah? It can't be straight bor, told at the bor, because mal bor, shekein, koch, ein koch, achem urabo, the bor. was here, the Kol Chacham Rebbe brought it down from the roof, and therefore it's less than Bor. For that we say, Eish Yochiach, that's Kol Chacham Rebbe and his Chayiv. I Mal Eishkin Hochu Mazik, and that Bor Yochiach B'chosav Adin. Back on Hamid days, now that we know this Gemara, now we can appreciate a few lines of Tosis, or struggle with a few lines of Tosis, as the case may be. Okay. The middle of this Tosis, we had to do this Gemara before we could even, you know, read these words. Now we can go back and Halvai maybe say, have some Havana here. Tosis asks the Yim Tomer. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4. 4 lines after the lines begin to get wide. In the beginning of the line, the Yim Tomer. Heichi asi mi bor v'chad me'inach. What did Rava say? That I can learn all the mazikin from bor and one other. Tosis raises a question. How could Eish be derived from bor and, let's say, one of the mazikin ashur, let's say, Shane, Regel, Karen? How could you learn Eish from bor and one of the others? After all, mali'inach shekein ein koach achem me'urav bo. After all, Bor and whatever else you throw in with it have a certain distinguishing chumra characteristic of Ein Koach Acham Urabo. Toma Be'esh, unlike Esh, the Koach Acham Urabo. That Esh is less than that, in that the fact that Esh is Koach Acham Urabo. The Havi Kula. And that is clearly a Kula, that it's Koach Acham Urabo. How do I know it's a Kula? Mi de Parach Besamuch. And the fact that we have the Gemara bringing us a pircha right here, the Gemara we just read, Gabi Avna Sakino Maso, that the reason why you can't see it straight as a straight bore is why Malo Bor Shekein Ein Koach Chacham Urabo. And the fact that here was Ein Koach Urabo means it's less than, it's not a strict bore. You need a Kamante Shulchiach. So Pektosis knew if that's the case, how could Rav have stated that you can take bore and one other and learn all the Mazikin, except maybe possibly Karenat? How could Eish be derived from Bor and one other? Bor and whatever other you'll pick, Shane, Rega, whatever, have what distinguishing Chumra characteristic? Ein Koach Acham Urabo. And Eish is less than that. So how could Rava justifiably say that Eish would be learning, could be learned from Bor and one other? Eish shouldn't be able to be learned because Eish is Koach Acham Urabo, which is a Kula. So far so good. Kasha's good. Strong Kasha, yeah? Everyone hear the kasha, yeah? And for Tosis. The Yesh Lomer. The Bor Shenase below Koach Acher Chomor Me'avno Sakino Shelo Hiziku Bali Chasan Elabasa Denaich. When the Gemara uses a pircha, it's what vis-a-vis what? Let's keep our context here. The Gemara is using Koach Acham Urabo as a distinguishing factor of Chumrah by Bor, vis-a-vis Avnos Sakino Maso, that fell from the roof with the Ruach Mitzuya, and then were Mazik again, while passive. That's the context of the Gemara using the Pircha of Koach Acham Urabo as a Chumra, vis-a-vis Avnos Sakino Maso. What Tosis is asking, in effect, is let's do the same thing in terms of using it as a Chumra of a Bor, vis-a-vis Eish. That Tosis is not going to hold. There you're not going to be able to ask such a pircha. Why? It's in the Ginsai. The bor shenase below koach acher, the bor that doesn't have koach acher, became a bor without koach acher, is more chamor me'avno sakino shelo hiziku balichas and elbasa denaiche, that their hezek was after they came to rest. The lo naasu bor elo aide koach acher. So if you look at all the variables in front of you, you have a boar that's nase, a boar below koach acher, and was mazik passively. And here you have avnos hakino maso that were nasu boar, what? With koach acher, and were likewise mazik how, in what fashion? Passive. Avo eish, shaholechu mazik bali chaso al yidei koach acher, but the eish, which is mazik actively in the with moving through the koach acher, that is chamor mibor she'ein holech umazik elabim komo. That's more chamor than a bor that's not holech umazik bim komo, even though the bor is nasu bor below koach acher, and the eish is holech umazik with the koach acher. Those are the words of Tosfos. Let's hear the words again. When does the Gemara ask the kasha that kochach amurabo is going to be a chumra? I'm sorry, in kochach is a chumra, kochach is a kula. That's if I'm talking about a bor becoming a bor and be masig passively, and that's without kochacher, and that would be more chamur than amnesukin maso that became a bor through kochacher. The wind took it down to the shisaradim and it came to rest. And it's also mazik in the same way, passively. So then you say, in koch acher, is a chumra, koch acher, is a kula, and it's a pircha. However, if I want to use this weapon of in koch acher that bor has, vis-a-vis eish, it's not going to work. Why? Because in the context of eish, the koch acher is doing what? It's making the eish into a hoichu mazik, which is a lot better of a mazik, you might say, than bor is, which is this mazik passively. So therefore, in the context of a koch acher that's in a mazik of hoichu mazik, that moves, there the fact that bor is in koch achamurabo is going to pale, you might say, in comparison to the eish, which is koch achamurabo, that's hoichu mazik. What does Tosfos seem to be saying? That we have to look at the larger picture too. Not just the isolating factor of koch acher, in koch acher. What did the koch acher of eish do after all? You might say it's a deficiency, but what did it actually do, this deficiency? It created what type of a mazik? A greater mazik. It raised up the stature of the mazik. It made it a mazik of hoichu mazik. So from the perspective of a mazik, the tohichu mazik, the koch achem urbo, notwithstanding, obviously is justifiably learned from bor and chad mehana. I can't rebut the limud to eish from bor and one other by using the fact that they have in koch achem urbo. Because vis-a-vis bor's stationary, being stationary, so even though it was in koch achem urbo making the bor, but the eish, which is koach achamurabo, made it what type of a mazik? A mazik, a hoichu mazik. That type of a mazik, so the very fact of koach achamurabo made it a greater mazik. So then in that regard, it's not a kula. If you're weighing the eish vis-a-vis the bor, then the koach achamurabo of eish will actually be a higher level than the in koach achamurabo of a bor. Because the koach achamurabo of eish gave it greater teeth as a mazik. What does it mean to have a pircha? Maybe bor has more reason to be chayiv because of the fact that it became a bor without koach acher. Eish is only a mazik with koach acher. Yeah, but what kind of a mazik did it become with the koach acher? It became a mazik that can travel and be mazik. Nope. So on balance, what's stronger here, bor or eish? If the eish has the hoichu mazik characteristic, and what gave it that characteristic, the hoichu mazik? The very koach acher. The koach acher that raises up the mazik. That's not going to be a drawback vis-a-vis bor, because bor is sitting in one place. That seems to be the mahalak of Tosfos. That's how you understood it, yeah? But now Tosfos runs into problems. So far we understand Tosfos kasha and Tosfos teretz. But now we're going to get to the really hard part, the next couple of lines. So what do we have at this point? We understand where we can learn eish out of bor and one other, even though there's a koach acher in eish, because after all, the koach achav eish is not viewed as a kula in contrast to bor, because the koach achav eish made it a hoichu mazik. So what's the problem? Yeah?
Answer Mary, just a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Why does it have to be more chamor by eish? Why can't just plug the pircha, just even if it's just as maple as it would be by...
Because not saying that hoichu mazik is basically acknowledging that there's a distinguishing factor of bor vis-a-vis eish. After all, l'maisa koch acher is a kula. Tosfos proved it. Koch acher is a kula. So the answer is yeah, but you have to know what you're talking about. If you want to use it as a kula for bor vis-a-vis eish, you're not going to win, because the fact that it's koch acher murbo by eish is actually making it a stronger mazik. In fact, it's hoichu mazik. So. And bor remains a passive mazik. So in that context, the koach acher is not going to be viewed as a weakness. To the contrary, it's making it a better mazik. If you're comparing both cases where they're passively being mazik, the bor is mazik passively, Erezakin Maso at the end of the story are mazik passively, then I'll say, wait a second, the bor became a bor without koach acher, maybe that's different than Erezakin Maso became a bor with koach acher. So the only thing that we noticed to make the difference is the fact that he was a koach acher and the other one, the bor, was not. But both were mazik passively. But in the case of the Eish, where the koach acher gufa, the very thing that you want to use as a strike against it, is actually empowering it. It's actually giving it a certain quality of mazik, which is better. So then the drawback doesn't become a drawback. Then it's the contrary. The thing that you want to use as a kula is actually can turn to a chumra. That's what Tosis seems to be saying. It's a good svara. So vis-a-vis Eish, you're not going to be able to hold that against Eish because the whole chumazik of Eish totally counteracts the fact that Bor is in koach acher and is koach acher. The koach acher of Eish made a whole chumazik. So that's what Tosis is answering, but now he runs into problems with the sugya right here in Davav. Yeah?
Is it possible to say that instead of saying that he's saying we're looking at it differently, but we're just talking about different things, meaning in this comparison, we're talking about this factor and that comparison. It's not that like that it's the same thing, but like how do you look at it? What are you comparing it to? We're just talking about different aspects. Like this, when we said koach here, it meant, you know, how it becomes the mazik. When we said koach here, it meant is it damaging only here, only damaging here. So it's like we don't have to like even though it's the same words, it like means different things.
You think all Tosis meant was that Koach Acher just had to do with forming it as a bor?
Well, I guess after we finish it. Like
I don't know if that's the words of Tosis, though. I mean, like, let's take another look at the words of Tosis. He sounds like he's just taking a sacha kol cheshbon. I don't hear him saying. You're saying it should be much more front and center. I should say the issue of koch acher is only relevant in terms of its formation as a mazik. Doesn't sound Tosis is saying that. Tosis is saying, I understand, there's obviously some element of kula in koach acher murbo, but in the context of an eish, where the koach acher murbo makes it a better mazik, vis-a-vis bor, that's true mark for me as well. In other words,
it's not like it's, depending on how you look, it's more like he's making like a solid. Like
he said, "Yeah, correct." So the tier is going to go like this. You have bor, you have avnas akino maso, which is similar to bor in that it's mazik passively, but it's koach acher, so therefore it's lower than bor. And then you have the eish, which is koach acher, but it's mazik, that's higher than bor. That's kind of what he's saying, right? But the reason why is that so? It's because to the extent that the koach acher is empowering the mazik in a way that bor is not, does not have, so then it's not going to, you can't use that as making it less than bor, because to the contrary, the true bor is no koch acher, but the koch acher of Eish did what for it? It made it a stronger mazik. See, some want to say, and I don't think this is correct pshat, some want to say that Tosis means, lemaisa, I don't think you mean this either, but I'll just give it to you anyway, like a thought. In Svara I can hear, but not that Tosis' words say that. Someone to say Lamaisa, the Mail of Hochul Mazik is something that's beyond Bor, but whatever Bor had, Eish had too. Eish can Mazik min Koma. Eish can be Mazik without going somewhere else. It can burn wherever it is. So therefore, the fact that it can be Mazik where it is, and it doesn't need the wind to go anywhere, so you can't tell me that going with koach acher to another place is going to make it worse because bor couldn't get there anyway. It's a chat and svar. In other words, they're saying, weave the words of Tosus out just to hear the svar. It's a nice svar. In other words, you could time an eish could be mazik here and it could be mazik there with the wind. But if it's mazik here, it doesn't need the wind, right? It burns. It burns, consumes whatever it will burn, consume. So from the perspective of whatever a bor brings to the table, the Eish has that without the chasan of Koach HaChemurabo, because he doesn't need the wind for that. Elamai, the Eish can go and be mazik beyond with Koach HaChemurabo. So that can't be used as making less than Bor, because Bor could anyway could not go anywhere else. It's cute, yeah? But tell me, Tosus said that or not? What did Tosus say? Tosus' words read that way? I don't see it at all in Tosus. Tosus' words are that to the extent that the Eish has a koch acher that al yedei zehoich umazik, that's not a chisara, because the koch acher of Eish made it a stronger mazik. Avo Eish zehoich umazik balichaso ade koch acher, that on balance is chomer miborish en hoich umazik el bimkomo. To say what I just said is reading too much in the words. Tosus is saying more like just like lining it up for us. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if A, this is relevant, or two, if it's too scientific, but is it possible that when they say Koach HaChemurabo by Eish and wind, they're talking about the whole fact that Eish requires there to be air, so even in Makomo there would also be a sense of Koach HaChemurabo?
I think so. I hear what you're saying. It's an interesting suggestion. We usually assume it's the Ruach. I hear. I don't have to think about it. Koach acher beurabo. Usually, I always assume they always meant the ruach. You're saying scientifically, you need.
Yeah. Just saying
it's holik. Tosus is holik for sure. Yeah. I mean, if you said that, you'd be rebutting the svar that I just said.
But I
don't think it's correct Shantosis regardless. So in Chanami, but okay. What happens now? Here it gets very tricky. So if this svara is correct, Rav Moshe say now here Halkav is going to really, it's going to really be challenging now. So what did Tosus say at this point? The reason why he answered the kasha, the reason why we can learn at Eish from Bor and one other, and we're not going to ask a kasha throw at Eish the fact that the other Bor and the other ones have ein koach hachamurabo and Eish has koach hachamurabo, because the Eish has koach hachamurabo made it a mazik of hoech mazik. So that gives Eish more of an edge as opposed to giving Bor more of an edge. If you're comparing Bor's Ein Koach HaChemurabo and Eish's Koach HaChemurabo with Hoch HaMazik, then Eish actually comes out ahead. Fractosis, if that's correct, Fractosis now, we have a problem with our Gemara. V'hadik amar b'samuch, Eish tochiach, shekein Koach HaChemurabo, v'chayiv, hachi pirusha. What does Tosus need to do now? What's bothering Tosus, staring Tosus in the face, so to speak, right now in our Gemara? If this svara, what I just told you, is correct, that Eish doesn't have a drawback of Koach HaChemurabo vis-a-vis Bor. Because after all, Eish's Koach HaChemurabo does what for Eish? What does it do for Eish? It gives it the great level of Hoch HaMazik as a Mazik. So that's not viewed in any way as a drawback vis-a-vis Bor, right? So now how do you read the Gemara? Our Gemara, Davav! See why we couldn't read this Tosus before we read the Gemara. What is Gemara saying now? The Gemara says, "What's pshat nasekuna maso? I need to come on to a tzad hashav. Why? It's not a straightforward bor. Why? Because vis-a-vis bor, it's less than bor than a classic bor. Why? Because a classic bor is what? A classic bor is en koach HaChemurabo, and this is koach HaChemurabo. So what do I do in response to that pircha? I say what? I eish tochiach. That what? That eish is koach HaChemurabo and still chayiv. What? That doesn't show me anything. Because Eish's Koach HaChemurabo doesn't in any way prove anything in terms of what we want. Because Eish Koach HaChemurabo is coming with a whole Chumazik context. And we're talking of Nesakino Maso, which is Mazik stationary. So how is Eish relevant to the discussion? If all we have to focus specifically on Bor vis-a-vis Ad HaSakino Maso, and given that it's stationary and it became a Bor with Koach HaChemurabo, then it shouldn't be Chayiv. So why do I say Eish Tochiach? No, what kind of Eish Tochiach? Eish Tochiach means it's coming to rebut that Pircha, that you're Chayiv even though it's Koach HaChemurabo. What do you mean even though it's Koach HaChemurabo? The Koach HaChemurabo of Eish turns out to be a Maila. So how does it speak to our discussion? That's Tosus' problem. How does Tosus solve it? Tosus, two words, but one at a time. Hachi piru. This is how we have to read the Gemara. Hachi v'had again v'had k'amar b'samach eish tochiach shekein koach acham meurabo v'chayiv. Hachi pirusho. This is how we have to read it. Af al gav the koach acham meurabo. V'chashiv as it goes. V'chashiv v'chashivi v'chashiv rei. Ki'ilu be'atzmo oses hakol. V'chayiv mishum chitzav. Just as we find by Eish. That what? That's koach acham merubo is chayiv. Even as koach acham merubo, it's considered as if you would have done everything and you're chayiv because of chitzav. That sounds like the lashon of Isha mishum chitzav. Hachinami, so to by Avna Sakinam Aso, af agav de koach acham merubo, even though it's merubo and therefore it's less than a classic bar, but no, what do we see in Eish? Chashuvim ki'ilu be'atzmo oses habor hazeh b'lo koach acher. So just as I see by Eish, that what? That even as koach acham merubo is chashivi ki'ilu be'atzmo oses hakol, and you can be chay mishum chitzav. So to hear, even as koach acham merubo, it's chashuva ki'ilu be'atzmo oses hakol, oses habor hazeh b'lo koach acher. What did Tosu say? What did Tosus say? So what is the Eish Shochiach coming? Then we have the Inami, that Taka learns that that's what the Gemara actually means in the Kasha. To explain that also, Hayo de Parach Malei Shekein Koach Hacham Urabo Didei Chomer Yoseh Shadei Zahochum Masak Meirachok Masheikim Abna Sakinu Maso. So the Gemara actually means that in the Eish Shochiach, in the Kasha they ask right afterwards. You have to know what the Gemara means by saying Bar Yochiach after that. But okay, Teretz number one, what did Tosus say? Hochi Perusha. First, just the general sense that you get from Tosis. What did Tosis want to accomplish in this answer? That when we say Eish Yochiach, what are we trying to do? We're trying to bring out a yesod that you see in Eish that's going to be relevant for why Avnei Sakinu Maso do not have any drawback in the form of the fact that that they became a boar through the wind. The wind made them into a boar. That was the reason why we had a problem. That's what makes them less than a classic boar. So the Eish Yochiach, Tosef is putting a certain spin on the Eish Yochiach. Before we get to the fine print of the words, what's the basic spirit of Tosef's words? That the Eish Yochiach is coming to bring in a yesod, to highlight a yesod that we see by Eish that's going to help us understand why you could be chay by Avnei Sakinu Maso, even though they became a boar through a koach acher. Because that was our problem, after all. Mal bor shekein became a boar without koach acher. So maybe you're not chayiv by Avnei Sakinu Maso, where they became a boar through the wind bringing it there. So we say Eish Yochiach. So what Eish Yochiach is coming to show you some important concept. The concept has to do with the fact that I see by Eish. So apparently, what do I see by Eish? So the simple way to read it is I see by Eish, but even though there's no koach, even though it's koach acher, you're still chayiv. But if I would say that, it wouldn't help us, because that's Tosa's problem, that's irrelevant. Even though it's koach acher, it's still chayiv. No, the koach acher of Eish is not a drawback at all, because it's making an olchul mazik. But vis-a-vis a boar or Avnei Sakinu Maso, it is a drawback. So that was a problem. So Tosus has to put a different spin on the Eish Shochiach. That's the outline. That Eish Shochiach is not saying pshat. That's the hochi pirush, not the way you want to learn. You want to learn that even though it's koach acher, it's still chayiv. No, there's a yesod here. Why are you chayiv? So the yesod has to do with Havi ki'ilu ba'atma osakol v'chayiv mishum chitzav. So that mouthful can be transplanted over to what? That mouthful of a yesod. That what? Chashivi ki'ilu. I'll teach you how to read the words just before you know pshat, just to see what Tosis is trying to do here. Chashivi ki'ilu ba'atma osakol v'chayiv mishum chitzav. That mouthful of a chidush and svara, hachinami. That's what we want to bring over to Avnei Sakinu. I forgot to go chacham urabo. Chashuvim kiu ba'atzma osag barzabro kochach. So what does that mean? What is that yisod that you see by Eish, and how does it carry over to Avnei Sakinu Maso? So there's a few ways to go here. I'm going to first give you the pshat as the foil pshat, and tell you why that won't work, and then we'll have to sweat till tomorrow to figure out what may be the correct pshat. Maybe the correct pshat. I don't know for sure. The foil pshat that I think is not tenable even though you might want to grab onto three words of Tosis and say that must be what Tosis meant. But l'chara, that cannot work. What would that be? I would harp on three words, which obviously are part of what Tosis said, so that then they can't be ignored. Namely, v'chaya b'shum chitza. So what is that obviously pointing to? There's a man da amar of Yochanan, and later in the second paragraph, Chav Gimel, Chabez Chav Gimel, that isho mishum chitza. It means that why is a person chayiv by Eish? Because it's as if they did, it's Adam HaMazik. It's as if they did, as if they shot an arrow. So Tosis would be saying that Eish Yochiach is telling me that there's the Yisod of Eish Mishum Chitzav. And there's the Yisod called Eish Mishum Chitzav. So that solves that problem. That means it's as if you did it. It's Adam HaMazik. He says, "Eish, the Eish burns. Whatever it burns, it causes hezek. That's Adam Amazik. B'chayi b'shem chitzav. No, so that takes care of our problem. What was our problem? Abba Sukina Maso is Koach Hacham Urba. So the answer is no. Eish b'shem chitzav. The Yisod of Eish b'shem chitzav tells me that's as if it was you. You did it. It's as if you did it. What's the problem with saying that? What's the problem with saying that? So that's Eish Yochiach. What does Yochiach always mean? Yochiach means that you see that the problem that you raise is not a problem. Because you see by Eish, as a mazik, Eish shows me that there's the drawback is not a drawback. All you're doing now is a gili milsa b'yama. You're telling me that there's a soda eishem shem chitzav. And therefore, there's no problem of koach hacham urba. It's like, it's not what you normally find with yochiach. Moreover, the soda eishem shem chitzav, according to at least in Tosfos Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin, is not unique to mazik of eish. It has ramifications for ritzicha, has ramifications for Shechita. Nafla Sakin, Tosis quotes from Chulin, Lamed Aleph, Nafla Sakin, Miyado. A person is holding a knife, it drops, and it shechs an animal correctly. So he says the only reason why it's no good is because Isha Mishim Amono. Isha Mishim Chitzav, it's a perfect Shechita, it's a Maisa Gavra. Meaning it's nothing to do with Mazik of Eish. It's Allah everywhere. What we seem to be doing here is bringing a Yochiach that has to do with the Parsha of Mazikin. What Tosis here is not agreeing with Tosis in Sanhedrin. Thirdly, Rav Yochanan says Eishem Mishum Chitzav. What does the Rish Lakish hold? Eishem Mishum Amono. So no, Rish Lakish can't fit with Abaye's Pshat and Tzad HaShava. Abaye can only work out the Tzad HaShava by Avnu Sakin Masob with going with Bar Yochiach Eish Yochiach. And what's the Eish Yochiach? Chayim Mishum Chitzav. What happened to Rish Lakish? So what she means is Tosis must be saying something distinct from the actual idea of Eish Mishum Chitzav. Now, which means we have to figure out why can't Eish Mishum Chitzav carry the day? Tosis did use those words. So, and if it can't, then what is Tosis actually saying? That's the tease for tomorrow. What did Tosis say? Clearly he's saying that there's something that fits with the Yochiach, of Eish Yochiach, which is meant to rebut the pircha of the fact that Avnasukin Maso is Koach Acham Urbo. There's a Yochiach in Eish. It's not a Kol Yistika Shas Yisod that I'm pulling out of Eish, and therefore don't ask me any kashas. Koach Acham Urbo, Mishum Chitzav saved the day. No, we're talking internally. We're talking about an Eish Yochiach. We're talking about a context of a Tzad HaShava, not a Gili Milsa B'Alma. We're using something about Eish to rebut the pircha. But Tosis has to say it in such a way that would not be a contradiction to what he said a minute before, a line before. That's what Tosis is trying to finesse. Tosis just got finished saying that if you talk about learning out Eish from Bor and Shor, let's say, I have no problem. Why? Because the fact that it's Koach Acham Urbo in the context of Eish is actually not a problem because Eish is Olach Umazik. Good. And yet, when the Gemara has the Pircha vis-a-vis Avon Sakina Maso, that they shouldn't be chayiv, it's not like it's not like bor, because it's koach hacham urbo, and it says eish yochiach. Eish yochiach speaks to something about eish that brings out an answer to the problem that we posed. Ay, it's called Chacham Urbo. The answer is, but you see in Eish a Yisod that's Chashav Kilo Osa Hakol. Let's explain what that means. And therefore, so to over here, it's Chashav Kilo Osa Hakol. It's not a problem of Chacham Urbo. What could that mean? And what does the Chai Mishim Chitza therefore mean in Tosis? If it's going to stem with Rish Lakish, you still have to work out the Chai Mishim Chitza. So what could Tosis mean? And then the second teretz of Tosis, that goof is the Gemara's question, if they figure that out also. And then, yeah, okay, you have to work on this, and then write in the Gemara, perhaps. Yeah.